show with Anna DeVlasis right here on 720 WGN. All right, Alderman Brian Hopkins has just stepped into the studio, and he is the alderman of the second ward here in the city of Chicago, which is responsible for many, many, many things in downtown and the surrounding neighborhoods. And the alderman has been one of the guys really pushing forward the Lincoln Yards project, which is a gigantic project on a gigantic parcel of land very close to downtown that has just opened up after Finkelsteel closed its operations here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always hear these stories about, and the president is very fond of talking about, you know, jobs and working class jobs, you know, construction jobs and things like that, that to replace manufacturing jobs. He'd like manufacturing jobs to be here, but obviously a downtown steel factory, that was something of the last, actually two centuries ago, more than even the last century. And that's so it basically was not going to stay here forever. And now here's a project that's going to create tens of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in revenue eventually over time. And it was about to get, and this is not something that was like being fast-tracked and no one was talking about. This has been going on for a long time, Brian, right? I mean, this is, people have been talking about this, and there have been machinations about it, and there have been hemming and hawing, both. And now you got right up to the finish line, right before the mayor's race, and now that Lori Lightfoot has won, Rahm Emanuel's like, well, we should push this until after she takes office. Would he have done that if Tony Preckwinkel had won?
Well, if the conditions were the same today under Mayor-elect Preckwinkle that they were under Mayor-elect Lightfoot, I think he probably would have. He just got frustrated with the rhetoric that was out there and just decided he was trying to help Mayor-elect Lightfoot get this done before she took office. And if that help wasn't welcome, then he was just going to walk away from it.
So there was a committee meeting today, finance committee, right? It was supposed to be a vote there and then a full council vote on Wednesday, but there's a delay now. Something the Mayor-elect Lightfoot and Mayor Emanuel have gotten together and said, well, okay, we're going to have 48 hours now. What's happening in 48 hours?
Well, I don't think much is going to happen in 48 hours. There'll probably be some additional discussion, but really there aren't many additional changes that could be made at this 11th hour. This is a very complicated real estate redevelopment deal. It's a $6 billion deal, involves lots of moving parts, lots of complexities, and to come in at the last minute and rewrite it in 48 hours and still get it done, that's just not feasible. It's not possible.
I want to go back to what you said, though, because I'm not sure I fully understand this, that the mayor was trying to help get it done, and then the help was unwelcome? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that was the takeaway from Mayor-elect Lightfoot's statement that she issued last night shortly before midnight while I was home sleeping in my bed, and, you know, my three-year-old was in his bed next door. You know, I woke up this morning and was a little surprised to see that they had sent that statement out with Mayor-elect Lightfoot saying,
don't do this.
Right, exactly. So I think told Mayor Emanuel that she wasn't going to do that, and then she did that. So the mayor said, all right, you know what, it's going to be your ball in a few minutes here. He's going to inbound and you're going to take it. So I think he just, in deference to that, decided to let her handle it. Her reason for saying that, ostensibly she just wants more time to study it. She didn't give any specifics. She didn't say, if we could change X, Y, and Z, then I will support it. So I'm not really sure where she is going. I haven't talked to her about
it. One of the biggest
I'm open to new ideas. You know, I've been saying that for weeks, but she hasn't given any specific ideas of what she wants to change, just that she wants to delay.
Okay, well, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me, because this is not like this just happened, and she's running for mayor, and this is the largest single development project on the docket right now in the city of Chicago, right?
That in the 78, yes.
Yes.
Some of the largest we've seen in recent history, aren't they, when
you take a
look at these projects?
Bringing jobs and all sorts of benefits. And that, actually, my testimony today, that was the one point that I tried to stress. You know, for all this talk about aldermanic prerogative and is it going to exist or not, every one of the conversations that I've had with my colleagues, my fellow aldermen, who have told me they're in favor of this and they're going to vote for it, not one of them has said, because it's your ward, alderman, and you're asking me. Aldermanic prerogative has nothing to do with it. They've all come to their own conclusion that this is the right thing to do for the city. The 24,000 jobs, the 10,000 construction jobs, the hundreds of millions of dollars in infrastructure improvement, and the affordable housing that the developer will pay pay for out of their own pocket. All those benefits are compelling. We need them, and we really don't have any other way to get them except a project like this.
To be fair, in her statement, I actually saw it last night. I thought it was strange, like you did, that it came out so late at night, but she knew that this vote was happening today. She said that the transparency is one of her issues, and I know she campaigned on that. She said that we want a hearing to talk about how the consequences might be for other TIF districts, the TIF money that's going to these projects, affordable housing options. I know you've talked about a number of these issues. It sounds like it's transparency. Is that fair?
You know, transparency is one of those words like machine. You know, it's a word that gets thrown around by people when they're against something because it's kind of a hot button word. But, you know, its definition is fluid. You can define it to mean what you want it to mean. And I find it ironic.
Is there anything untransparent about this?
Well, in this case, this project has evolved before our very eyes. From the time that it was first introduced to today, there have been numerous changes in it that have taken place in the light of day.
If the Tribune prints one more picture of this project.
A plot of land from aerial view.
Yes, but then there's a stadium there. No, there's not a stadium there. Oh, there's a concert shell. No, there's not a concert shell. Okay, we're going to have a dog walking park. Fine. That stayed. And then and with the river and the whole thing. And I get that, you know, this is, you know, most Chicagoans aren't going to be affected by this. And when they hear Lincoln Yards or they hear the 78th, they think, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's what most of the Chicagoans say. And that's fine. That is not, this is not this is really, should not be, a really difficult thing to agree on. I mean, as you point out, it's complicated. And people like to throw TIF money around. You do get the term TIF is very confusing to people. And they're saying, well, you got this money and you're spending with these rich developers. That is not what is happening. And that is, it's one of those, you just saw this happen on the national level with AOC, where she made the same mistake. That's money that doesn't exist yet, right?
Well, that's true, and it's money that won't exist unless we develop this parcel of land in the manner that we're suggesting. If we do, these additional dollars will be created. If we don't, it's going to sit there like the Chicago Spire site. It's going to be a hole in the ground for the next 20 years, generating no money and no benefit to anyone.
You're giving developers TIF when they talk about TIF money, it offends me on an intellectual basis, especially when there are contracts up. Like the teachers union did this during the last big contract dispute. And they're like, what about the TIF money? Why is the TIF money being used? Why is the TIF money being used? That's not money. That's it. And they're teachers. They're playing politics there because they know what it means. That it is, they are giving a tax break to a developer. You're saying, your taxes, we're going to incrementally help you finance through a lower tax rate, not taxing you the way that we would be taxing other projects because yours is so big. And so important, we want you to be able to develop this because it's going to result in billions of dollars of revenue to the city of Chicago eventually. Not tomorrow, but eventually. And that's going to help everything. So I do not, it drives me nuts when people use things like that. There should be, what is that guy that was on 60 Minutes last night, that billionaire was like, you know, we got to have...
Yang? Was
like,
he on?
No, it was the guy from Colorado, from Connecticut. I think when we do this, we just go around in a circle. Like a dog chasing his tail.
Name the billionaire.
Anyway, the point is that we have to have this intense honesty about these things. We have to be very, to use the term of art, transparent. We need to say, because there's a way to confuse people with terms that they're not familiar with. I'm going to give you terms you're familiar with. This is a tax break to these developers so that they will build this project. Because developers don't have to build a project. That's not what, they don't have to build it here. Sterling Bay is a big, I know that they started here, but they are a big national and now international company. They can go to Beijing and do this if they want, right? They don't have to do it here. And that piece of land can sit there, fallow, blowing dust all up and down, you know, into Lincoln Park and downtown until the cows come home. Literally.
And I think that's what will happen if we can't get this deal across the finish line in the next month. I truly believe that the land will stay vacant for the foreseeable future. Maybe the next economic downturn might be around the corner. Nobody knows for sure. But we have an opportunity right now. It's not going to wait indefinitely. And Sterling Bay, as you said, Ro, they've got the ability to do elsewhere. They're going to take their capital off the table and go somewhere else and do something else with it.
This is why God invented Rosemont, to take all of the projects that Chicago won't do. And, right, and the Stevens family's like, hey, we'll do it out here. Come on, bring it out here. Come on. You want a ski hill? We're going to build you a ski hill.
But I want to go back to something you said about TIFs, because this is an important point to stress. The TIF opponents, you know, they're not all wrong. There's some points that they've made that I happen to agree with overall. But one thing that they need to focus on right now is we're at the end of a TIF bubble. There were a lot of TIFs that were created 20 years ago, 22 years ago, 18 years ago, they're about to expire. If we allow those
tax
TIFs to
breaks.
Expire...
Let's just call them tax breaks.
Okay, those tax incentives, whatever you want to call them, they have a lifespan of 23 years, and a lot of the bigger ones in the city are getting to their maturity date. And if we let them expire, that is an onrush, an infusion of public tax dollars that comes into the city's coffers. Those TIFs will have lived up to the promise from 23
this
years
is the
ago.
Point.
We're all going to benefit from it.
And not only, not only do those TIFs, the tax breaks, I'm not even obeying my own rule. Not only did those tax breaks, will they pay for them exponentially here, but they paid for themselves along the way through all the other things that they did. By when you, if you build buildings and when you, they're condos, and you sell the condo, the city gets money, right? There's tax stamps and all the rest of the things by which the city and the county make money. So there's real economy there. You're also having people down here who are going and buying things. And when they buy things, the city taxes them on what they buy. And there's money there. If you hull out the city, this is so simple. This is not... People act... And I apologize, present company excluded... A lot of politicians and activists who are on either side of a political issue, they try to bamboozle us with terms and by making things seem as though in the exact opposite of what they are. It's a very simple thing. The more business, the more money is made for everybody. You want a city that is thriving, not a city that is burned out internally.
Yeah,
this is an opportunity.
I will agree with your point that the opponents have not necessarily been intellectually honest in a lot of the positions they've taken. They've clouded the waters. They've created an environment where confusion reigns, and their goal is to stop this, and they've been actually effective. You saw that play out today.
Let me tell you what happened.
I thought we were going to have a vote today, and we didn't. I have to tip my hat to the opponents. You know,
oh,
the confusion and the disinformation they've spread, you know, allowed them to get to the point where we couldn't get a vote today.
But you say the votes are there, just if you take them?
The votes are there, absolutely.
You
and if we can
it.
Get a vote on Wednesday, I think, you know, if I can hold my colleagues together in the next 48 hours, I believe I can, because, as I said, they're in this because it's the right thing to do, and nothing's going to change in the next 48 hours to change that. But if we can force that vote on Wednesday, I believe that this will pass.
I don't know what these activists are all up in arms about, but I have, in my decades of covering this town, I have yet to have seen an activist that didn't have their hand out to make sure that they got their piece of whatever the deal is that they wanted, because it's a good way to get in the way. They obstruct for profit. That has been the history of this town. I don't know what I have no idea what these people are doing. I don't understand what they're doing, but I don't know if they really have a profit motive themselves. But pretty much in every other case I've ever seen, known of, covered, somebody gets something out of it. They either get jobs for their unions, or they get jobs for their buddies, or they get money to be a consultant to the deal. I mean, that is just how this city is operated. And really, it is time for that to stop, because that's where the public corruption piece comes in, that you see now a line of people. You see butcher paper being bought by the federal investigators so they can put it up in windows in City Hall so that you don't see what they're doing inside these offices as they're raiding them. And there will be more of that. And all of that is interconnected. And quite honestly, it is time for the city to stop, to get its head out of its keister and start moving forward. It's a new mayor. It's a new time. It's a new opportunity for... Yeah, for I think Rahm Emanuel wanted to come in with a little bit of that in mind, and he saw what was going on there. But he's, you know, he's a tough guy. He's a tough politician. He's been around this town in Washington for a long time. He's seen this before. But now you got a former federal prosecutor stepping up. She knows what she's looking for. She knows exactly what that is. Don't let that happen. And let developers develop something that's, and listen, that's just a bunch of dirt, rock, and some broken glass right now. Acres upon acres of it. It's like basically a square mile, isn't it?
A little bit less than that, yeah.
Yeah. A square two-thirds of a mile?
Lincoln Yards itself is about 60 acres, but the North Branch industrial area surrounding it is much greater, and there's some opportunity there as well after Lincoln Yards gets resolved one way or another.
Yeah, so, all right.
And the tax breaks would go for rebuilding bridges and roads and infrastructure.
Let me just say quickly, three new bridges over the Chicago River. Anyone who lives on the north side knows how important that is. Three new bridges to get from east to west over the Chicago River. A brand new 11-acre park. The 606 extended across the Kennedy and the river and the metro tracks. And a new metro station. All of these things
are benefits
that we want. The
606 coming toward downtown?
Yeah, going east, right? So you can get on the 606 at its western terminus, ride all the way, cross the Kennedy and the river, and then wind up on the Lakefront Trail.
That's another way to get the bikes off the surface streets. Don't get me started.
Don't get me started.
The bikes want to get off the surface streets as much as you want to off there.
I don't think that's true. There's a lot of people out there that are not behaving themselves. And now when it gets nice, like today, like it's like the pods open up and all kinds of weird stuff happens on the street. And that's one of them. All of a sudden, bikes appear out of nowhere. It's like, you know, when it gets warm enough and all of a sudden you start seeing things flying around in the air and you're like, where'd that come from? Where was that spending the winter, right? There's birds and bugs and things like that.
Why would you bike in the bitter cold? I mean,
Those are the ones that always screw you up. On a snowy night and you're turning right across a bike lane and there is one guy.
Out of nowhere.
Right out of nowhere coming down there. But now there's 30 people coming out of there. I want you people to stop too.
Okay.
That's a separate issue. Thank you, Alderman. I appreciate your time. Alderman Brian Hopkins, let's just hope that on Wednesday there still could be a vote.
I think there will be.
All right, okay. Thank you, Alderman.
Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, let us now check with, let's find out from Lauren what's going on the roads.